This is Eshin Akins, and welcome to Two Guys and a Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, Eshin Akins back. We're not wrapping up the paranormal stuff. We've got several more investigations we're going to be doing. Tonight we're back around the campfire. We've got obviously my co-host Jason Akins, and we have a special guest, Mr. Adam Aaron. He works for the Alabama State Troopers. Known him basically my whole life. Mm-hmm. Jason, mm-hmm. I assume you've known him most of his life.
I've known him for a good while. I sure have. Adam is a good friend. You know, we're very close to Adam and think very highly of him. I hate to say that and be recorded saying it, but it's the truth.
Oh, it's on there now.
It's there. It's there forever. It's there forever. But, you know, I like what you said there, Esh, about we're not wrapping up this paranormal adventure that we're on, because I don't know if it can ever be wrapped up. We have found that we have an interest in it. The public has an interest. And we're just going deeper down the rabbit hole, as they say.
Buddy, I don't know if we'll ever get out of the rabbit hole.
Man, maybe we've always been there. Maybe we'll run into ourselves.
It's
the multiverse.
That's it.
Maybe we'll run into it, and like we'll be switched, and one of us will be Middle Eastern, and one of us will be Jamaican. I don't know. It'll be like the multiverse.
That's right. Jason, we hadn't met in a couple weeks.
No, sir.
Everybody's been busy with work and
Halloween.
Family, Halloween.
Yeah.
It's been wild.
Yeah. It has been. You know, the last time we did a kind of an investigation out at Easley Cemetery, and didn't see a whole lot, but you know, it's not always going to be a home run.
That's right.
Not always going to be a home run, but you know, we decided with the Halloween holiday and everything, we'll take a break and try to get here with Adam as soon as he could, because Adam, he's kind of a, you know, he's grown up kind of a, what we would refer to as in the old school country.
That's right.
I thought you were going to say poor.
Yeah, he grew up poor too, by the way, which makes you old school country. But you know, so he's a little bit closer to I hate to say it, some of the folk. I don't hate to say it. It's just I don't know how to say it. The folk beliefs or the things you and I grew up with, as far as some of the old timers, the stories they would tell. Adam kind of comes from that tradition,
right?
And so I'm just tickled to death to have him here tonight, man. I'm tickled to death to be back with you recording something for all the listeners. So I guess we'll get started,
man. In our little break, I did have a chance to see Shang-Chi.
Oh, tell me what you thought,
man. It was incredible. I thought it was great.
Did it exceed your expectations?
It did. I was thinking a new character being introduced, it's going to be kind of lame, but I was not disappointed.
You know, I kind of felt like the character that was playing the quote-unquote Mandarin was probably one of the best actors they've had as far as portraying a villain.
Absolutely.
In the whole MCU. I mean, he was fantastic.
Absolutely. I've not got to see the Eternals yet, but man.
You know, it's getting panned, but I'm going to tell you, brother, I saw it. I loved it. And the reason I loved it was, yeah, there were parts where I was like, okay, can we go on? Come on, guys, let's speed this up. But I loved it because, one, it was different. It did have a little bit more of a DC flavor, more of a DC Zack Snyder flavor, very much. And I loved Zack Snyder at DC.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good. It opened up a whole different part of the Marvel Universe. And I thought, okay, this takes us into another area instead of the same old, same old.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, it was nearly 3 hours, so I felt like I got my money's worth.
I saw something about a cut scene on it. They introduced Thanos' brother, is that right?
That's not cut. That's there. It's in there.
Okay.
Yes. Eros, or Eros, also known as Star Fox,
uh-huh.
He gets introduced. I hate to give away spoilers, but I'm going to go ahead and give them away if you're okay with it.
Hey, go ahead, buddy.
He gets introduced. And this is all end credit stuff we're talking, folks. So if you don't want to hear spoilers, go ahead and cover your ears. Go make you some coffee. Go to the bathroom, whatever. But yes, he gets introduced. Pip the Troll gets introduced. The Black Knight gets introduced. And Mahershala Ali as Blade.
Wow.
He gets introduced through his voice.
Wow.
Yeah.
In post-credit scenes.
So, you know, I know it's taken a beating by some people, but overall, I liked it. I really liked it. It was just something different.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, so, and you know, it's just getting bigger, man. We got Spider-Man No Way Home coming out. That's going to be huge. It's going to be monster. Hawkeye's going to have two episodes on November 24th.
Yeah.
Those are going to be big. So it just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Absolutely. Now, Adam, are you
I'll be honest. I have absolutely no idea what y'all are talking about.
Well, all right. I was about to ask if he was a Marvel fan, but he just answered it for us.
I mean, I'm a fan, but as far as... Well, I'll be honest with you. Out here where I live, we have no internet whatsoever.
Wow.
No service. We could have paid $4,000 to have Spectrum, but I was like, eh, you know, I can do better things than that with my money.
I think you can.
But as far as talking about exciting things that I am tickled pink about Ghostbusters next weekend, I'm just going to be honest with you.
Oh, man, talk about it.
I've already got 5 tickets for the Vestavia Theater with the reclining heated seats.
Wow.
I've already looked at the menu. I know what I'm getting. And I'll be honest with you. I bought one seat. The other 4 around me are going to be empty. I've put my kids down there at the bottom. I want nobody around me to ruin this.
Wow.
You know, this is something since I was a little boy.
You've been waiting.
I've been waiting for a real third Ghostbusters.
I agree, man. I agree.
The all-women's Ghostbusters was not impressive to me at all.
You know, if you've never seen the first 2, it would have been a decent movie.
It would have been. And, you know, the funny thing about it, I watched it on, I forget what it was, TNN or something like that. They were showing it. And there were parts of it that were better than I remembered, but it was not anywhere near Ghostbusters 1 or even Ghostbusters 2. You know, I went, I think that was the summer, that was 1984, so it was the summer before I was going into the 4th grade. And my sister and I went to see that movie. And that's the first movie in my life I've ever seen twice, back to back. And I just, man, it was a phenomenon back then.
Yeah, I loved Ghostbusters growing up.
Oh, yeah, man. So this one, and I think they've got the right actors. They've got the right story. I think it's going to be good.
Absolutely.
I'm hoping.
Yeah.
I'm hoping, because I tell you what, it's going to be bad. If y'all read the headlines, Alabama State Trooper arrested at Vestavia Theater because Ghostbusters 3 was a disappointment.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I hear you. After you wait about 20-something years, you know, you think maybe this ought to be good.
Well, it has been 20-something years.
It has.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and of all the original actors, they're...
been longer than that. I mean, if the second one came out in 89...
It was 89.
88, wow. 89.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're looking at
30-something years. 33,
34 years.
Wow. And they're all still alive except for Harold Ramis that played Egon.
And,
he's the only one that's died.
Wearing glasses, that's who I always was.
You were Egon.
I was always Egon.
You were always Egon. Well, this is going to be Egon's grandchildren and I guess his son. I'm not sure. Paul Rudd. Is he playing Egon's son?
I think he's, from what I've gathered, he may be like a teacher in the town.
Okay. Wow. Now, folks, if for some of y'all who are catching that, we are out
in wild coyotes.
Those are wild coyotes. We are out in the wilderness, sitting around a campfire. It's great. I'm going to tell you, it's warm, smells great. We've got a jar here of I don't know what this is, butterscotch something, and those are dingoes. Those are wild dingoes.
Wild dingoes. We're out in the Australian.
Yeah, that's right.
Desert.
That's right. The dingo ate your baby. Or ate my baby or somebody's baby. They got somebody's baby. That's what I'm saying, baby.
I'm telling you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I didn't know Ghostbusters was coming out next week.
Yeah.
I've been trying to catch up on Marvel, and I had found an iPhone app, to be able to watch these movies that are still in theaters, but there's still that cam footage, and I'm like, I can't watch that.
It just gives you a headache.
Right. I mean, I could watch The Eternals right now, but I just can't handle the shadows and all that shit.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you mean. There used to be one that we would use years ago. You remember that? And it was pretty good quality.
It was.
I think it was people who had gotten a hold of copies of the film because maybe it was early release or they were critics and then they sold them or...
Yeah, it happens.
But anyway,
As we mentioned, we're sitting out in the wilderness around a campfire.
Yes.
Did this last year around Halloween.
We did.
Very successful episode.
We did.
A lot of interesting stuff. But we want to hear Adam's stories. Adam has got some stories to tell us.
He does. He definitely. And if he doesn't, he'll make some
up. I'll make them up.
That's right.
I mean, that's
right. This is the Elvis of Piney Woods, Alabama, for those of y'all who do not know. He is a state trooper. That is correct. But he's also a recording artist. He's also a writer. How many hits did that recording you did get on YouTube? Or was it on Facebook? I forget.
Well,
didn't the New York Times pick it up?
The song Little Miss Moonshine is on Google Play, by the way. Amazon, Spotify, Rhapsody. Just type in Adam Aaron, Little Miss Moonshine. Probably when it was posted on Facebook, I'm going to say around 250,000 views on Facebook, somewhere along in there.
Incredible. Wow.
And then that kind of led into, of course, having some little bit of a following,
right.
You know, because of getting friend requests from all over the dang world. But I did a thing called, Santa Claus is Going Downtown. I don't know if y'all remember when I posted that on Facebook.
That don't sound right.
Well, you know, it was kind of a parody to Santa Claus is Coming to Town, but I changed it to Claus is Going Downtown.
Well, that's what I'm saying, man. That don't sound right, bro.
So, when I did that, you know, like Atlanta did a story on it.
Uh-huh.
Dallas did a story on it. That ended up getting around 4 million views on Facebook. Somewhere along in there. Now, if I'd have been smart, I would have tied all of that to my YouTube channel.
And you would have made some money.
And I would have made money on it. So, shortly after that, I did a thing called I'm Sorry. And all of us has been in law enforcement in some way, shape, form, or fashion.
Yes,
so,
sir.
You know, when all the police officers was getting killed in Texas, my thought process when I wrote this, and it wasn't a song, it was just simply me sitting there talking. It was called I'm Sorry. And basically, if that would have been me laying in the casket, because that's somewhere each and every one of us could have been, mm-hmm. with those circumstances, you know, what would I want my final message to be to not only my wife at the time, but to my kids, my grandparents, you know, my family, my friends? What would I want my message to be? And basically, you know, it would be, hey, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry to my wife for the sleepless nights because I was out on the highway. I'm sorry to my kids for the games that I missed or the cheer that I missed. You know, I'm sorry to my grandparents that I didn't come to see you because all I do is work. But after each thing, I would follow up with, please forgive me. Mm-hmm. And then when I go through, you know, wife, kids, parents, grandparents, family, and then extended friends, you know, every time I would say, please forgive me. Well, then finally it comes to where I address the young man that in this little story that took my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it says to the young man that took my life tonight, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you didn't have a loving wife at home. You know, I'm sorry that your kids has left you. I'm sorry that your grandparents didn't take you in off the streets when you was homeless. I'm sorry that you didn't have the loving friends that I had, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to see if the Lord can send some people your way, because even though you took my life, I forgive you. That's what really blew up, man. Like when, and of course, there were certain entities that thought it made me look suicidal.
Which, suicidal?
Which obviously they didn't listen to it all the way.
Right. Obviously they saw that and they thought, well, this is a dadgum suicide note.
Right. So, you know, basically my ultimatum was take it down or else.
Wow.
But through this.
Wow.
It had about 13 million views on Facebook. Atlanta did a story. Dallas did a story. New York, Buffalo, Houston, Atlanta, Miami, Tallahassee. There was like a dozen different places that contacted me and actually wrote an article on it. The Tuscaloosa magazine ended up coming up and doing a story on me.
Well, I saw it and I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was absolutely beautiful.
But it, you know, so as far as the Elvis of Piney Woods, though, yeah, I prefer Jerry Lee Lewis. I'm just going to be honest with you. I prefer you. Jerry.
You got more of the Jerry vibe to you.
I do.
Yeah, he does. He does. He does have more of the Jerry Lee Lewis vibe. I agree.
But, you know, man, I don't know. I like doing a little bit of everything. I like writing. I like singing. I like playing.
What about magic?
I might do a magic trick every now and then.
Have you ever done any shows, magic shows?
You know, I've done a couple of birthday parties. Going and doing magic. The main reason I learned magic was on the side of the road, whether it be me stopping somebody, but most of the time, some of these horrific crashes that we would go to, you know, the kids are freaking out,
traumatized. Yeah.
So if I can pull a couple of magic tricks out of my pocket, and it wasn't nothing elaborate, but it'd be things that I had that I could keep in my pockets or keep in my car. You know, and a lot of times a kid that was having in a really bad situation, it would take their mind off for a minute. And, you know, if I could get a smile out of them, hey, to me, that's all worth it.
Right, right.
The hours and hours that I would practice the sleight of hand stuff to get a grin out of a kid, man, you know, them hours was well spent.
I hear you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Well, I know you grew up in Piney Woods. We all have deep roots, connections to Piney Woods. You know, a lot of people outside of Walker County, Alabama, outside of the United States of America,
would have no idea what in the world you mean.
Yeah, they have no idea what in the world I mean. You know, it's a special place, and a lot of stories come out of this area. So what we would like for you to do is to just kind of kick back and relax and think about some of the paranormal experiences that you have had. And, you know, take your time and tell us a little bit about them. Well, but first, let me ask you, do you believe in the paranormal?
Yes.
How far do you go with that?
I will not let a Ouija board in my house. Period. I'm not going to participate in a Ouija board. I'll be honest with you, the show Ghost Adventures, I love it. Mm-hmm. I love the show Ghost Adventures. But a lot of the demonic stuff that they start talking about, I tend to turn the channel sometimes simply because, you know, I think that is a gateway. And even though they're on the other side of the country doing these investigations, I still feel like that can spiritually open up a door to allow these things into your life, your home, attach itself to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now that's just my personal opinion.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. Thought breeds demonic possession.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, particularly with the Ouija boards, but also I think you have to be very careful not to let, you know, certain things into your life, into your home, because I agree with you. I do believe that there are entities out there that are seeking to attach.
You know, and I'll tell you, really, kind of the, and that coincidence, very possibly, I don't know. It's not where I live now. It's at my house in Piney Woods.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sitting on the couch watching Ghost Adventures. And it was one of their long specials that they was having. And this episode, a picture kept getting knocked off the wall. And my wife at the time was sitting there watching it, and she's like, I don't know about this. You think this is real stuff? You think this is staged? You know, what do you think? And in the episode, you know, they've got a camera sitting on this picture that falls. An X-cam is what they call it. And about that time, the picture fell off the wall. That picture didn't no more than hit the ground. I had a picture hanging over my piano. When that picture fell off the wall, the picture above my piano fell off the wall. And I looked at my wife at the time, and I'm like, does that answer your question? I think it was, you know, not a spirit, a demon, I don't know, but I think it was because she had been questioning the whole episode, I don't believe in this, I don't think this is real, on. And, you know, the chances of a picture on my wall falling off as soon as one on the TV, I mean, it's not like...
That's astronomical.
Yeah, it's not like a picture falls off the wall on TV and then she gets up and walks to the kitchen and a picture falls off the wall. It's like picture falls off the wall, picture falls off the wall. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, holy crap. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right, this is, we turning it.
Yeah, that answers a lot of questions right there.
It does. It does. Mm. I think in our society now, our modern, you know, what's modern to us, you know, in 100 years will be old.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be, but to us, our modern society with our technology and, you know, the way that we live is so sanitized and safe, at least in this country. Now, I know in some other countries it's a little bit tougher. You know, we think we got poor people here, man. You get outside the United States and you'll see poor.
Yep.
But, you know, I think we're out of touch with that part of reality, that realm. And, you know, our ancestors, they were not. They were in touch. They knew. Now, of course, they carried I don't adhere to everything they believe because, you know, they didn't know how to explain some things.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like we've said before, 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong.
Right.
You know, so there's something to it. And I agree with you, man. I think if you, you know, and I've heard it before in churches growing up, if you give place to certain things, well, then you're just opening it up for them to come right on in.
Yep.
And now you got to deal with it.
That's exactly, and I tell you, just from the couple of experiences that I've had, you know, I don't try to convince anybody, you know what I mean? But I know 100% for a fact what I've seen, and hey, if you don't want to believe it, that's fine, but you take that crap somewhere else, you know what I mean? I don't, man, I don't play. I take it pretty serious as far as, you know, inviting stuff in to, because, you know, I got two small kids, man. The last thing I need is...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Them being afraid to stay at the house.
Right.
Can we pause it for a second?
Yeah. Guys, we had to take a quick break. We had to take a tobacco break. Jason forgot his tobacco in the car, and he had to go grab it real quick.
That's my wacky-backy.
So, here we are back at it. we're talking a bit about the paranormal. Again, we have Adam Aaron with us.
Yes.
Talking about his beliefs in the paranormal.
Continue, Adam.
So, you know, really when we talk about experiences, really two big ones come to mind that I've personally experienced myself. You know, now, I've heard stories of, you know, my dad's experiences, but I mean, this is, you're hearing it straight from the horse's mouth.
Okay.
And since some of the people in this story are still living, I'm going to be kind of candid with where it happened, just in case my kids hear this. All
right.
And I don't want them to be scared. So, in the eighth grade, Miss Cher was a history teacher.
We all had her. She was my history teacher.
Now, y'all can attest
yes.
to the amount of homework that she would give out.
Yes. More than any teacher. More than any teacher.
More. I had more homework in her room than I had in high school, period.
School career, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was eighth grade. And we used to go to church with my grandmother every Wednesday night. She would help me with my homework. So I would walk to her house before church. Well, now look, I just said I wasn't going to give the location out. Look at this. Well, I'm a terrible secret keeper.
You told so much, you told on yourself.
So, eighth grade, it was getting dark earlier, but it was the full moon out. I didn't have a flashlight. Now, where we lived, we had a trailer that was probably 200 yards roundabout from my grandmother's house. We had a single wide trailer. There was a small pasture in between our houses. And then you come to the gate at the back side of her house in the backyard, walked up the right side of the house up a hill, and that puts you in her front yard, just to kind of paint the picture. So here I am, eighth grade. That's what, 14, 13?
Yeah.
13, 14. Little dog. She was an Australian Shepherd walking with me. Her name was Patches. Didn't have a flashlight. You know, growing up, some folks around the world, you know, they, of course, didn't grow up like we did. You know, I remember going coon hunting with Dad. I wouldn't even have a light. You know, you go outside and you do things, play in the dark. We'd always play hide and go seek in the dark. So being in the dark without a light really wasn't anything new. You know what I mean? It's not like today's kids where they got a flashlight on their cell phone and,
right,
you know.
Right. I remember walking down from my grandmother's, and she would give me and my sister both a flashlight, and she'd say, watch for snakes. And I just, I thought, well, I wouldn't even worry about it.
No. And you know, for a lot of the younger folks, flashlights now is nothing like flashlights in the 80s and 90s.
No.
The little plastic, we always bought the plastic, you know, there's like yellow and
ever
green
ready.
And orange.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, it was...
The light was pitiful.
Terrible.
It was pitiful.
Took the big old D batteries.
Yeah, yeah.
So, didn't have a flashlight, full moon. I've got my backpack on. Walk from the house, walk through the lot, go through the gate. Literally, something scary is the last thing on my mind. Mm-hmm. About halfway up the hill, Patches, the dog that was with me, she stops and she starts barking. But it wasn't really like a full-blown, it wasn't a bark. It was... But and it wasn't really a growl, man. It's hard to describe. It was like a wolf, really. You know, like a woof, woof.
Mm-hmm.
You know how a dog will do when.
Yeah.
So when she stopped and did that, of course, the first thing I think of is snake. You know, I thought, oh, is that, what, well, she's seen a snake. So I look down. Now the dog is walking to my right. She stops, so I take maybe two steps past her when she stops and wolfs. So I stop and I'm looking down. Well, when I look up, right at the corner of the house, a woman was standing there. She wasn't glowing. You know how things look right before it gets dark, how everything is gray?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, stop signs will be gray. A red stop sign will be gray,
yeah,
right at dusk.
Yeah.
That's kind of how this lady looked. I mean, it was a full moon. It was really bright, but you could clearly see a person standing there.
Mm-hmm.
And you could, it was like a kind of like an old-timey dress, flared out down at the bottom, or I say the bottom, the hip area. It kind of fluffed out. And my first thought was, what's Mama doing out here? And then my next thought is, that's not Mama. And I remember, y'all ever just had that feeling like somebody was watching you?
Mm-hmm.
And you know how the hair will stand up? And man, I remember when I seen her, it was, my cheeks felt like they was swollen. The weirdest feeling ever. Like the hair on my face stood up. And I was in eighth grade. I didn't have hair on my face. Mm-hmm. But the chill bumps. And my eyes started watering. I was terrified to wipe my eyes, because my eyes was completely watered over, because I in my mind I was thinking, when I wipe my eyes, we're going to be nose to nose.
Mm-hmm.
Was what I was thinking. So my eyes was watering, and I'm dead still. I'm not moving a muscle. And in my mind I'm thinking, do I turn around and just run as hard as I can back down to my house? But I was thinking, well, crap, the gate, it had a sliding latch, and that son of a gun was hard to get open and closed.
Right. When I get down there, how am I getting out of it?
That's exactly.
Going over it?
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get the gate open. You know, and in my mind, I'm thinking, if I run, she's chasing me.
Mm-hmm.
So
either way,
I'm got.
You got.
So I wiped my eyes. When I moved my hand, she was gone.
Wow.
And, of course, I'm still froze. We didn't have cell phones. So I'm thinking, do I start screaming for Mama and Pop to come there? But Patches, the dog that was beside me, she started trotting again. When she started trotting, buddy, I fell in behind her. I looked down, and I didn't look back up until I got to the front porch.
Woo! Patches led you home.
Hey, I tell you what, if Patches wouldn't have been, I'd have probably had a doggone heart attack.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it was, you know, you always hear people talking, boy, I'd like to see my guardian angel. I'd like to see a demon.
No, you wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't. Because I don't know what, I don't know, angel, demon, spirit, I don't know what it was. But I know 100% for a fact, I don't ever want to have that experience again. Period. Like I said, man, words really can't describe the feeling that comes over you. I mean, it was sheer terror. Mm-hmm. You know, I've only had terror like that just a couple of times in my life. But that one right there, man, I don't want nothing else to do. I don't want to see anything ever. I don't want to hear nothing. I'm telling you, man. And, you know, growing up, we'd always heard stories about this woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been a few people in the family that's seen her.
Well, is she an old relative of y'all's? Or?
You know, I really don't know. My granddad built the house. So, he's seen her. My dad has seen her. My Uncle Richard, mm-hmm. who's he's a pastor, and he'll tell you his experience. He's seen her. Now, we're the only three people in our family that has actually seen her. But everybody just about it in the family can tell you about hearing footsteps in the house, hearing people talking in the house. You know, I've heard Dad talking about they would hear music playing. They would wake up in the middle of the night and hear music playing, but nobody in the house had a radio. You know, this would have been in the 60s and 70s.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he said they would tear the house apart looking for the radio, but they never could find the source of where the music was coming from.
Do you think it's possible that it goes back further than your family, that she could be...
I do. I think she is attached to the land, and I'll tell you why. My dad, when he was building his house, he's found probably 50 to 100 airheads in his front and backyard. You know, when he was building the house, it would be nothing to be walking through the yard when they was tilling it up, getting ready to plant the grass, and find two or three airheads out there. So my personal thoughts is that it was an Indian camp. I don't know if this lady is somebody that tragically died from an Indian, or you may have just got sick and died there on the property. But for everybody in the family, for the most part, to have some sort of an experience, you know, but it's never been none of them that lived in the house ever felt like it was going to harm them, you know, so they don't think it's an evil entity.
Right.
Well, that would make sense. If you've studied Ed and Lorraine Warren, the couple that the
right,
Conjuring
right.
movies are based off of, if you've read any of their studies, spirits, demons, angels, they all can be attached to a physical object. So property, I don't guess, would be out of the question.
Well, you know, this reminds me, Ash, you remember, it was last year, We were doing an investigation, and you were not able to go with me and Billy White. It was a house over not too far in the old Sunlight Camp area on Sunlight Road. And it was a story we had heard about a haunting at a house. And we went and investigated it and got some pretty interesting pictures. But we talked to different residents of that community, and we kind of pieced together the story that goes back about 100 years to the original owners of the land and the lady that was the wife of the owner, did not want to sell. He sold. There had been at one point there had been a murder on the property, mm-hmm. and she had been very adamant that she did not want to sell that land, and that anyone else who she basically cursed the land,
yeah.
and anyone who bought it, and you know, years later a house is built on that land, and the house, that's where they were having the paranormal occurrences. So it kind of makes sense, you think?
Well, you know, and in this part, I may be making this up, but I feel like I've heard people talk about it. My dad, some of the older folks. I want to say that there is an old railroad bed that goes through the property. You can actually still go to some of the trees and find where it's got cable coming out.
Wow.
And I want to say before the railroad, that may have been, I want to say, an old, like a Pony Express route,
mm-hmm.
and a wagon trail.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause the old wagon trail actually goes through the property, and it comes out where Giles Aaron used to live.
Mm-hmm.
You know where I'm talking about? That was, they call it the old road.
Yes,
is the what old, they call it, the right. old road. And it was actually his driveway. But that was a wagon trail back in, I'm assuming, the 17, 1800s.
Wow.
That come through, and it goes right through the middle of that property. So, yeah, it could have been something related to that.
It could have been, you know, someone who passed away. And back then...
See, there's a couple of bluffs on the property.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, maybe...
Well, a lot of times when people were passing through like that and someone died, you know...
They buried them on the side of the road.
They buried yeah. them on the side of the road. You could, on that property, you could have, that lady could be buried on the side of the road, so, or somewhere on that property.
Right.
And she just, you know, and that's where she exists now, or that's where her...
Spirit
exists. Wow. Okay.
Well, it's, like I say, man, I don't, you know, I don't try to convince anybody of, but I know for a fact what I've seen. And that's all the convincing I needed, you know. And there's stories of me and my cousin would, of course, ghost busting, you know, going up there and ghost busting. We had heard the adults talking about it, and mm-hmm. You know, this time me and Cody had decided to go up there and go ghost busting. And of course, kids being kids, we was probably 10 to 12-ish. 9 to 12, somewhere along in there. And the next weekend, Cody called, hey, let's go spend the night with my mom and pop. You know, we all lived right there together, you know, on about 120 acres that the whole family mm-hmm. lived on. And so all the time spending the night with grandparents. You know, we all had four-wheelers go up there, and that's... So this next weekend... Cody calls, hey, let's go spend the night with my mom and pop. I tell Dad, hey, we're going to spend the night with my mom and pop. And he literally grabs me by the collar of my
shirt. What's that dog doing to that dog?
we got to keep this PG, I think.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And they're both boys is the problem.
Lord have mercy.
Look. Welcome to the 21st century, bro.
So he literally grabs me by the collar and he says, and I quote, don't y'all pull any of that crap that y'all did last weekend. Daddy said the covers kept getting jerked off of him and the bed shook all night long. And he thinks it's whatever is in their house was letting him know it don't like being made fun of or poked at.
Wow.
Mm.
So, you know, that was probably the scariest experience that I've had. Now, this trailer that we lived at, I don't know how old I was. I was old enough to stay home by myself for a little while because I was home alone. But I was young enough that I was scared to load a shotgun because I was afraid I'd get in trouble. Yeah. So, you know, I'm somewhere along that age.
Yeah.
So, we had an old school Nintendo, you know, and I know a lot of kids out there now is like, what? What's an old school Nintendo? So
when you play Duck Hunt on.
Right, you Duck Hunt. I love Duck Hunt. Mario Brothers.
Kids today don't know what Duck Hunt is.
No, they really don't. They really don't. That was the coolest. I remember when that was
the coolest. Mario and Duck Hunt was one game.
Yeah, yep. You had a real gun. Not a real gun, but you had a gun. You would point at the screen. And that was, back then, that was
a blast.
That was huge.
So, I was playing Mario, and, you know, it was a small single-wide trailer. So, I'm sitting there playing, and my granddad, if he would ever come down to the house, he was bad about, he would bang on the side of the trailer when he got to the corner to let you know, hey, I'm fixing to be at the front door.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm sitting there playing Mario. Mom and Dad had went to get something to eat. I don't remember where they was, but they wouldn't home. So I'm sitting there playing, and I hear that at the corner. Now, to kind of paint a picture, if you walk in the front door, you're in the living room, you turn to the right, that was my bedroom that came off the living room. You turn to the left, there was a little kitchen there, and then a hallway on the back left side of the kitchen. A bedroom on the left, a bathroom, and then my mom and dad's bedroom was the very last door.
Mm-hmm.
So I hear that banging on the side of the trailer, and I thought, oh, there's Pop. It's dark. What is he doing down here? So I pause the game. I sit there for a minute, and I'm expecting to hear him knocking on the door. I never hear that. Instead, I hear, you know, a dog that don't have any, like, don't have a bushy tail like Rico there.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a thin tail. When it hits against something, you can hear it slapping.
Yeah, it's like a clack, slap, clack, slap,
clack, clack, clack. Exactly. Yeah. So this sounded just like a dog's tail slapping on the underpinning of the trailer. Is what it, I mean, just a plop, 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 plop. And, of course, in my mind, I'm thinking, what in the crap is my granddad doing? About the time I'm fixing to get up to go look, it goes from the front left corner of the trailer all the way around the front, the side, the back around, to where it originally started. It made its way all the way around the trailer. I'm getting chill bumps talking about it. All the way around the trailer in probably 4 to 5 seconds. 6, maybe.
And that's not physically possible.
It's not physically possible for a person to run.
Particularly a 60 or 70 year old man.
Right. And I mean, that would happen to be jumping up on the porch, down the other side, around the back, up on that porch, off the back porch, down around, going to where it started. And when it first started moving, I thought, that's Pop. But when it got to the front door and then kept going all the way around the front, to the side, to the back, all the way back around to the front, and then it stopped, I thought, there is no possible way that is my granddad. So, of course, me being a young man, kid, I run to my bedroom, grab my shotgun, and there again, I was terrified of my dad to what he would do if he found out I loaded a gun without him there. I sat on the couch under the covers until they got home. And of course, it seemed like hours before they got home. They finally get home. He comes in the front door. And he's like, "Boy, what in the world are you doing?" I said, "Dad, I don't know what it was, but something was beating on the underside of the trailer. And it went all the way around it. I thought it was pop, but I don't know what it was." So, of course, he gets a gun and a light. He goes out there and he looks all around the property. He's like, boy, that was probably just the old dog's tail. Well, I said, "Dad, there's no possible way that dog could have went all the way around the trailer and never missed a slap with its tail hitting the underpinning." You know, because if you walked out the front door onto the front porch, there was only about 2 foot of porch before you was at the end of the porch from the front door. Now, there was probably 4 or 5 foot to the right, but to the left, there was a piece of underpinning missing, and that's where the dogs would come in and out of the, you know, our dogs lived under the house.
Well, I mean, I think all
I knew a lot of people whose dogs lived under the house.
Yeah, that's
under the front, they get under the front porch.
That's exactly right. So, you know, there's no way that if the dog would have got to that spot, it would have went up under the house. But to this day, I have absolutely no idea what was beating on the trailer. So we've started from my experience when I was in the 8th grade, probably 13 or 14. We've backed up till I was 9 to 12, I'm going to say, somewhere in that ballpark. The very first paranormal, and I say it's paranormal, I don't know if it is or not. I'll let you guys be the judge. Y'all remember when Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves came out?
Yes.
Kevin Costner.
Yes.
Okay. It was around that time because I actually had a miniature Kevin Costner Robin Hood figure.
What was that, around 94 and 96, something like that?
I really don't know. I was thinking maybe 91, 92.
It was around 91, 92. Yes.
So that would have put me being...
91.
That would 91. Put me being about 7. I was born in 84.
Maybe 90.
So 5 to 8, safe to say, mm-hmm. 5 to 8-ish. Well, I had this little action figure, and he had a Batman hook, you know, tied to a little rope, so you could actually get it on a tree, and I was letting him swing, you know. I had a great imagination as a kid. So our front yard, you kind of went down a gentle sloping hill, and then there was a flower bed that kind of came out of the hill. So I'm playing at the flower bed, pretending that he's at a cliff. And out of the corner of my eye, I see something fall. And it was just enough to get my attention. So when I look over, I'm expecting to see something noticeable laying there. Wasn't anything there. And now, our front yard didn't have any grass in it. It was just, I mean, it had like spots of grass.
Sure.
But for the most part, it was just dirt and rocks. There was nothing out of the ordinary that, you know, that would have got your attention. So, as I'm looking, I start noticing smoke coming up off the ground. And I'm thinking, what in the world is that? So I get up from playing with my little Robin Hood and walk over there. And it was a stick about the size of your pinky, but it was about 8 inches long, 8 to 9 inches long. The very tip of that rock or that stick was on fire. And I thought maybe my mom had come out there and was starting the grill and had used this stick to light the grill and just threw it in the yard. So I pick it up, I blow it out, and I take it in. I'm like, hey, did you throw this out? Did you throw this at me? And she's like, what is it? I said, did you not just light the grill with this stick? She said, no. But babe, I'm cooking. Again, growing up in the South, she was cooking hot dog weenies cut open with cheese in them.
All right, yeah.
Now, you know.
That was high class back
then. It was. Yeah, when I come home from school, I would be super excited when we would have hot dog weenies with cheese.
I didn't
realize it was because we were so poor we couldn't afford anything else. So
our go-to meal was spaghetti,
right?
With no meat in it.
You just get the sauce
spaghetti
and noodles.
With no meat.
So I had forgot about that for years.
That's a good one. Spaghetti, you know, with no meat.
But looking back, I think to myself, like I say, there was no other houses anywhere around us. To this day, I have no idea where this stick that was on fire came from.
Wow.
And I have thought everything from maybe somebody, there was an explosion where they was mining. You know, there's no explanation as to logically how an on fire stick could end up in our front yard.
Man, I don't know how much you've listened to the show, but I've had both visual sightings of the paranormal and physical touch of the paranormal. And I've told these stories a few times on the show, but you know, just to tell Adam.
Yeah, I've not heard them.
Most of mine happened in the same house. We lived in a house on Crescent Circle in Jasper.
Yep, I know exactly what you're talking about.
The first time I was laying in bed. I was in I don't guess it was the first time, because I was a little younger, I guess. You know, 14 to 15-ish, maybe 16. I'm laying in bed, and I'm facing the doorway. Mom's done come to the bottom of the stairs to wake us up. So I'm laying at the door, just laying there, and all of a sudden, I get a tap on my back, like, and I'm thinking, hey, hang on a minute. Mom and Dad don't come up the stairs. I'm not saying Mom and Dad was lazy, but Mom and Dad didn't come up the stairs, okay? So I fling the covers back and hop out of bed. There ain't nobody standing there. To say that spooks me a bit is an understatement.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm at the teenage years. I'm, you know, 13, 14, 15-ish. You try not to get scared of shit like that.
Right.
It happens.
It happens.
So another night, I'm there. Mom and Dad's gone. Mom and Dad travel a lot. A lot of times, even my grandmother would come stay at the house. If they were just going out, they'd leave me there with my brother and sister. This particular night, I was the only one there. Brother and sister was at a friend's house or something or another, and I'm sitting in the bedroom underneath the stairs, right, playing the Sega Genesis.
Oh, Sega.
Oh,
Sonic. Right.
We had the Sega and the PlayStation all at the same time, but there was certain games on the Sega that you love, right?
Right. Street Fighter.
Right. So I'm sitting there playing, and all of a sudden, I hear this boom, 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 boom coming down the stairs. And I thought to myself, story, that's just a cat. Because our cat would run up and down the damn stairs. Cat's laying right beside me, and I think for a second, I leave the game on, I hop up, and I run down the hallway into the living room. I said, nope, I ain't staying in there. Ain't happening. Boy, I didn't even go on that side of the house for about 2 weeks. I slept on the damn couch.
Damn. I don't blame you.
You get spooked like that, I'm done. Have you ever had that feeling when you walk outside at night and you turn to go back inside, you feel like there's something's watching me, and you're like, you either run or you say, fuck it, come and get me.
Yeah, I'm right now at this point, I'm feeling too old to run from something.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, not me. Hey, I'm 37. Shh, I'll run like a 6-year-old little girl.
Like a bitch in heat. Oh, did that record?
It did.
Oh, God, take that off.
There ain't no editing it out, Justin.
Let's edit that off.
we're being real.
See what you can do about taking that out.
I'm just the point in my life. I'm going to turn around and fight whatever it is.
Talking about a girl dog. Oh, my
but man,
gosh.
In that house, I wasn't the only
lose
one
ratings on that.
My mom experienced it.
Right.
I think my brother is the only one in the house that didn't experience anything. And I just think whatever it was scared of him. Because he was into that hard Rob Zombie rock, and I mean, just the...
Right. I think that can be a doorway.
Or he could have been what let it in.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, I tell you, talking about how you said, when you said that you didn't go on that side of the house. Now, when I, whatever it was that I seen, up until that point, like I say, we would spend the night with my grandparents nearly every weekend.
Right.
We was up there every morning for breakfast. You know, Mama would cook just about every morning. We all lived so close, we would all convey on Mama's house like a bunch of vultures to eat breakfast every morning.
Cook for an army, didn't she?
She did. And from that point on, I have never spent the night in that house again. And even now, and I'm 37 years old, if we're sitting in there, and if there's three people in there and two of them get up and walk outside on the porch, I get up and I walk outside on the porch.
Oh, Adam goes with them.
Yes, he does.
He's like, here I go.
And, you know, that, I mean, that's how profound of an impact that had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tell you, God, I hope my kids don't hear this. Brianna, the 18-year-old, the other night, and this is just was last week, she said, she's all the time saying that she hears footsteps going down the hallway, you know, hears things creaking, and but, you know, I chalk it up to, it's just the house.
Yeah.
She said she was laying in bed, and she heard her door open. Here's the door close. Now, our doors, you know, it's not a door handle like a conventional house. Our doors was made. It's slats of wood,
an old-timey door. Yeah, right. I like them.
And it's got a wood latch. Mm-hmm. So
pretty cool.
Like coming off the door, it's like this coming off the door. If the studs right here, that's what it looks like. So you've got a piece of wood that goes down, just like an old-school latch. She said she heard the door open, she heard the door close. Now, me and her mama was fighting. So, Jesse was sleeping on the couch. I'm in the bed.
How is it she's sleeping on the couch and you're in the bed?
That was her choice. That was her choice. If you make them mad enough, you don't have to worry about fighting about it.
Well, there you go.
So, she said the door opened, she heard the door close. She said she physically felt somebody pick her covers up and get in bed with her. And she said she felt a hand caressing her cheek. She said, I was terrified. She said, I couldn't scream. I couldn't move. She said, it was all I could do to even open my mouth. She said, and finally, she's like, all I can describe it as is being able to break free from somebody holding you down. She said, that's what it felt like, somebody holding me down. She said, when I broke free and was able to turn, there was nobody there.
Mm.
Because her first question was, before she started telling me, she's like, did you come in my room last night? I'm like, no, why in the world would I come in your room? She's like, I just want to make sure before I tell you this story. She's like, I'm going to feel dumb. I was like, well, if I did come in your room, I'm going to say, Squirrel, I call her Squirrel. I'm going to say, hey, Squirrel, and then whatever I need to tell you. I said, mm-hmm. I'm probably not going to climb in bed and touch you. That's a little creepy.
Right. That's a little strange. You bring up something there, and this is something I've not had a lot of paranormal experiences in my life, but what I have experienced is something along the lines of what they call sleep paralysis, and where you're not sure if you are awake or asleep, and it can be pretty scary. I wonder if maybe she might have been going through something like that, because you can see things. For some reason, when I was in my early 20s and was living alone, living in an apartment in Coleman, I kept having these nightmares, and I would be in my bed. In my dream, it was the bed that I was in. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And there would be somebody at the end of my bed.
Right.
Or there would be a hand come creeping from the doorway, and it was terrible.
Yeah.
And I would try to fight that, or try to fight them, but I couldn't really. I was like
slugging. Your movements ain't
like through water.
Yep.
slogging through water, and then I would wake up and I would be right there in the bed. Everything would be the same as my dream, and I'd be like, "What did I dream that, or did it just happen?" And I just snapped out of it.
You know, I had that. Jesse had COVID back in September. So, of course, when we found out, I started sleeping in Marley's room. The kids didn't come over for 10 days, you know. I gave Jesse the bedroom. I slept in the kids' room. And in my dream, there was a little girl had opened the door and was peeking in. But in my dream, she was a ghost.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was clear that she was a ghost. So I'm freaking out in my dream.
Right.
But it was, I mean, my eyes was open. You know what I mean?
Right, right. And that's what I'm saying.
And I'm thinking, yeah. All right, are my eyes really open or am I asleep?
Yeah.
And as I'm looking, my eyes was really open, but I was still seeing the dream. And the little girl slowly vanished, and the door that was open wouldn't really open.
Right.
You know, so I and that's kind of what I chalk it up to. But just talking about experiences, that was, I tell you another one that it's kind of along those lines of, am I really seeing this or is this a dream? Mm-hmm. But it was another thing that it had a profound impact on me. I was 20, and the house that my mom and dad had built was, we moved in it when I was 16, 17-ish. My sister, I think I was fixing to turn 17, and my room was upstairs. So just to kind of set the picture, you walk up the stairs, you open my bedroom door, there's just a very, very short hallway to the left. I mean, like 8 foot. And then there was another door that went into the attic for storage. There was a closet. That was my closet. You turn to the left, and there was kind of a wall right here from where you actually come up the stairs that protruded into the room, if that makes sense. And then the room actually come farther back to the left. And it was like a barn-style house, or a barn-style attic. You know, the ceiling wouldn't, but about 6.5 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 5'8", so I didn't have to worry about it. So my headboard was up against this wall right here. So I'm laying there asleep. And, well, if you're in my room, there's another room that joins it. There's never been a door up, and then there's a door that goes outside. Again, it was pretty light outside. You could see inside my room, which was a room over from the windows, but you could still see inside my room. And I wake up, and there is a black mass. It was moving. It was really weird. It's a black mass, but it was moving, hovering right above my face. And I'm getting chill bumps again talking about it. I remember digging my head back into the pillow as hard as I could possibly push, trying to get away. And the farther I would go back into the pillow, the closer this thing would get. Well, if you're laying in my bed, the lights is right above your head. So as I'm leaning back, I'm trying to fill up the wall to find these lights. Right before I flip the light on, whatever this mass was, it's almost like it, what's the word, I'm almost like a, like it, it, like something sucked it back up, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Into the back corner of the room, which was the darkest corner right there. It's almost like it went back down to that corner. Just almost as soon as I hit the light, it's instantaneous. And of course, I'm trying to figure out, all right, did I really just see that? Or am I dreaming? I was convinced enough that I seen it. I was 20. I moved out and bought my own house when I was 23. I slept with the don't hold this against me, boys. I slept with the closet light on until I moved out.
I don't blame you.
Well, I'm going to have to be honest with you. When I was living, you know, by myself in an apartment when I was 23, 24 and 25, those years, mainly 24 and 25, it was so bad. Some of the, there again, did I see it or was it a dream? I quit sleeping in my bed and I would sleep on the couch with the TV on and the lights on.
Yep.
And the lady that I ended up marrying, my wife, she, at that time we had not met. And she used to get up early, like at 5 in the morning, and walk, you know, like a lot of people do. And she would see, well, I'm saying, what am I talking about? We had met, but we had just met, but she knew where I lived. And she would see my lights on, like, early, and she'd say, well, boy, he sure is a real, he gets up early and gets
real
after.
He's a go-getter.
Real
go-getter.
Go-getter. Yeah. And she didn't realize that I was sleeping, I was asleep for the for two or three more hours with the Daggum History Channel on because I was afraid to turn the lights off.
Hey, man, I was, like I said, I wouldn't go on that other side of the house for 2 weeks. I slept on the couch.
Oh, yeah, man.
Nothing happened on that side of the house.
It's weird, nothing. Dude. It's weird.
When you cross that, and about middle way down that hallway, going to the other part of the house, that's where all the shit happened.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
My mom had something come sit down on the bed beside her when all of us kids were going to school and Dad was out of town. Something sat on the bed with her.
At my grandmother's house.
I got to go. Y'all keep talking.
Bathroom break.
Man,
nothing get by on this show, man.
Man, we got to do some editing, man.
You know how you it's like you say that certain point. Every time I would walk past the hallway, I would just get this really uneasy feeling.
Yeah.
Once I got past the hallway, I was fine. Now, I don't know if that had anything to do with it or if that was all in Adam's head, you know what I mean?
Well, when something like that happens to you, it sticks with you.
Yeah, it does.
I bet still today you walk into that house and...
walk past that hallway, man, it's like, cool.
Got you.
Oh, well, I tell you, even in this house, the house that I'm living in now, and again, I don't know if it's, but now I've heard Brianna say the same thing, and Jesse. When they walk past Madison's room, it's just walking past her room, they get this funny feeling. Now, I've never heard anything in this house. I've never seen anything in this house. Don't want to see anything in this house.
Adam will be putting on the real estate market. And
you got that right.
Guys, you know, we got to move.
Well, I tell you, in my line of work, some of these houses that I've been to where somebody's committed suicide,
yeah,
there ain't no way in the world that I would buy that house.
Right.
I tell you.
Well, Adam, you know.
I couldn't do it either.
While we're talking about it, you've got a cemetery literally, 150 yards from your house?
Yeah, probably 200 yeah. yards. And it's a big cemetery. I mean,
it's an old cemetery.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Now, this is not firsthand. Now, my experience was firsthand with some of it. But it was a cousin of mine. Now, where I lived, y'all both know where I lived in Piney Woods.
Mm-hmm.
So, tell you a little bit. This will be a little trooper story, too. Well, even though I was off duty when it happened. So, I was working 4 to midnight and was headed home that night about 11:30. The fire chief at the time for Piney Woods gets behind me, flashes his lights. I pull over. It was his birthday. Cody Brown was his name. He asked me if I was working. I said, yeah. I said, hey, look, man, I'm on call tonight. So if y'all have anything, I'm going to be up anyways, because, you know, when I was working 4 to midnight at the time, our call went from whenever you got off to, like, 3 that morning. So I would normally just stay up till 3 o'clock, because there ain't nothing worse than you get home, get in bed at 12:30, and then the phone rings at 2:15, and then you sleep, you feel like crap the rest of the day. So I'd stay up till 3. 1:20, my phone rings. He said, hey, man, you ain't heard anything about a possible shooting, have you? I said, possible shooting? No. I said, I've been sitting here watching TV. And he said, well, man, this is the address. And It was, mine was 5947, and it was 5885. That tells you how close it was.
Yeah, just, I mean, literally down the road.
Yeah. So I said, well, it's either going to be so-and-so or so-and-so. I said, I tell you what, for those of you that may not know, any time a fire department or a paramedic service gets a call of a possible gunshot or stabbing or domestic or anything like that, they won't go until the scene's been cleared. Which, and what that means is somebody in law enforcement has showed up and made sure that it's safe for them to actually come in and administer first aid. So I said, well, I tell you what, man. I said, I'm off. I said, that's going to be so-and-so. I've known him since I was a kid, literally. I said, I'll go up there and make sure everything's good. So find the address. I'm on the phone with the fire chief. I was like, hey, it is going to be so-and-so's house. I said, there's a light on. Let me go up there. I'll make contact. I'll call you back probably here in about the next minute and let y'all know y'all can come on in. So I pull up, I get out of the truck, go up to the front door, and I can hear somebody talking. And I thought to myself, I don't know if that's the TV or is that this guy talking. And I started to turn around and go back to the truck. And I thought, well, gosh, if he's accidentally shot himself in the leg or, you know, he liked to drink a lot, I said, I would hate for him to be laying there bleeding to death and me just turn around and get back in the truck. So I just kind of creak the door open. And just for the sake of calling a name, we're going to call him Joe.
Didn't we speak that night?
I think we did.
I believe we did, because I, for some reason, I want to say we got a call out there, and I was like, okay, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I believe we spoke that night. I was at the jail.
For the sake of Joe.
For the sake of Joe.
So, I said, hey, Joe, you in here? So, you open Joe's door. I stick my head in. There's a recliner probably 5 foot in front of me. There's a little, like a dinner tray table, almost like one of the fold out tables, yeah, in between us, and then his recliner, and then a little end table. He's standing at this little end table behind his recliner, and his arms are his right arm is moving back and forth. Now all of this is instantaneous thoughts, you know. All this entire event transpired over about 45 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So when I see it, my first thought is Joe has probably accidentally shot himself in the hand. The neighbors heard it. And a gunshot at 1:20 in the morning is something that I would probably call. You know what I mean? So I said, hey, Joe, you all right, buddy? Well, I notice in that first recliner, there is a female at the top of a head sitting there. Now, this female, she was an alcoholic as well, and she was legally blind. So when she didn't react to me talking, it didn't necessarily surprise me because I thought she's probably passed out drunk. So, hey, Joe, you all right? Well, you could tell it surprised him. Well, when Joe turns around, Joe has got a pistol in his hand. There's no blood on him. So, of course, when I see no blood, my next thought is Joe has probably accidentally fired his gun and the neighbors heard it, called 911, because he was fine. Mm-hmm. There was a little shot glass sitting on the end table, so I thought, yeah, he's drunk. He's probably cleaning his gun, accidentally fired a shot.
You know, that's the first thing I want to do when I get drunk is clean my guns.
Right?
That's always, absolutely, highly recommended.
So Joe walks around, and as he's walking, I said, hey, we had a call of a possible gunshot. You ain't accidentally shot yourself, have you? Didn't say a word. He sits down in his chair, and I said, hey, Joe, are you okay? Now, Joe's probably 9 foot from me, 9-10 foot. He sits in his recliner. He's got the gun in his right hand. He looks at me, and he says, well, Adam, I don't know about all that. Holds the gun up to his head. And as I'm saying, Joe, don't... I don't really get do it out of my mouth.
Yeah.
He shoots himself in the head.
Oh, Lord.
So, at this point, the female doesn't react to that. So, and I'm wanting to know where this gun has went, because Joe is still sitting there jerking and making all kinds of god-awful noises.
Mm-hmm.
So I walk in, the female sitting there, and when I get a little closer to the chair, I can tell that her head is kind of slumped down. Well, she's been shot in the head.
Jeez.
The gun's laying in the floor. I kick the gun away just in case Joe's not out of it. I don't want Joe getting back to that gun. So I call the fire department, let them know what's going on. Call 911, let them know what's going on. Long story short, Joe dies, lady dies. Fast forward a year maybe, a cousin of mine moves in this house. And, you know, we're talking about things, and he said, Adam, I'm not a scared person. He said, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm scared to death in that house. He said, we have things that will move from one side of the table to the complete opposite side of the table. He said, things will slide across the floor on their own. He said, you can hear knocking on the wall. You can hear scratching on the wall. He said, there was a chair that would just shake. It turns out that was the chair that Joe shot himself in.
Lord.
And he said, I'm not scared by no means. He said, but I'll tell you, I used to not believe in this stuff. He said, but living in that house has absolutely convinced me that something's real.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, guys, we're getting close to the end of our record time. We've got about 5 minutes, and I do want to bring this up. You know, me and Jason's discussed this a lot. Some people in some places are more in tune to the paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
You may be one of those people, Adam.
God, I hope not.
You may be.
Oh, I mean, I am. I've had too many experiences to think otherwise.
I'm not in tune with much of anything.
If y'all had been at the Elks Lodge yesterday, you'd have said the same thing about me.
Way out of tune. Yeah.
Well, it happens.
It does. It does.
And places where tragedies took place, or stuff we don't even know about, stuff that could happen 1,000 years ago or 200 years
yep.
ago.
Oh yeah.
It could be holding on to that energy.
And that's the thing. That's what we're. I think that's what all paranormal researchers are trying to figure out. They're trying to. What is it? What is that? You know, there's the classic, oh, well, that's the ghost and the spirits and this and the that. Well, you know, wait a second. You know, somewhere in between physics, metaphysics, faith, and science that we don't understand is the truth.
Well,
and
you know.
And that's what we're looking for.
Really, I mean, even if you think biblically. So we're talking spiritually. You know, I've heard people say, well, when you die, you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell, and that's it. But, you know, even in the Bible, if you think about it, when the disciples was on the ship, and the first thing, when they seen Jesus walking on the water, they said,
it's a ghost.
It's a spirit. It's a ghost. So, you know, the concept of ghosts is what was back around.
It's always been around,
in Jesus' day.
Yeah.
So, If they're thinking it's a spirit or a ghost, that, you know, that there's got to be some validity to it, because that was, oh, it's a spirit on the water.
Well, mm-hmm. And it's a belief they had back then.
Back then,
I mean,
yep.
That's...
And even back thousands of years before that.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, and of course they tried to explain things that now we understand through science, but some things we still don't understand, and they didn't understand then.
And I tell you,
we're still trying to figure it out.
We probably never will until we are actually the one laying on that deathbed. And
That very well may be the case. Very well may be the case. But until then, I think it's helpful for people to tell their stories because, you know, for me growing up, and I'm just a little bit older than y'all, but I'm sure it was the same way for y'all. We kind of come out of similar generations. for you to tell stuff like that, man, you'd be made fun of.
Yeah.
People would say either, one, you were crazy, two, you were making it up, or three, that's ridiculous. You know, but I think there are a lot of stories out there that need to be told. People, folks aren't making it up all the time.
Uh-uh.
You know, by far they're not.
Not everybody's crazy.
Not everybody's crazy. I mean, you know, so do with it what you will, but we're going to keep looking for these stories. And
absolutely. And we want to hear everybody's story. That's why we have Adam on tonight. We want to hear his story.
Yeah.
When we started this podcast, we wanted your everyday person to have a voice.
Yes, your everyday person. Because, you know, you don't have to go to Hollywood
no.
to find an interesting script. It's right around the corner.
That's it, Jason. Well, Jason, I want to thank Adam for hosting us tonight.
Yes, sir.
Beautiful fire pit we're sitting around. Been a great show. I'd love to have Adam on again sometime.
Yeah, man. We ain't even got to talk about anything particular. I can just talk for days.
Yes, right. You can. I'm glad you brought that up because we had a cousin of Adam's, Jared Aaron,
uh-huh.
and Martha Parnell Saloma,
right.
Who would that be your aunt?
Well, it is my aunt. It was her sister.
Okay, that's right. That's right. Your aunt's sister. They went on an investigation with us, and Jared's been on the show. You know, the invitation is extended to Adam.
Absolutely.
We can't have enough errands. And we would love for you to go now, with us on an investigation.
Martha, have y'all heard the story about the little girl?
I don't know if we have.
Okay, if you
haven't,
I don't want to ruin it for you.
Okay, we haven't.
But she has physical, a physical thing that you can touch and feel that a quote-unquote spirit, entity, whatever you want to call it, left her when she was a little girl.
Wow.
She still has this item.
Okay.
We'll have to get her to tell that story on another episode.
Absolutely.
Well, guys, we have about 30 seconds left, and I hate to rush this. I do want to make a quick plug for my business at work.
listen to this guy.
We're doing a Toys for Tots. We're a Toys for Tots drop-off place.
Ah, there you go. That's a good one.
Me and some management have made a commitment to help out Toys for Tots. Anybody that comes in and mentions hearing this on this episode, we're going to donate a bicycle to Toys for Tots.
I'll be there tomorrow.
So, again, thank y'all, Adam. Jason, it's been a great episode.
You better buy some bicycles, boy.
We got to sign off for now, guys.
Adios.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, guys, for